the message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. The prophet Habakkuk illustrates the life of true faith. He begins the final portion of his prophecy with prayers and concludes with praise. Habakkuk is a Levite, and he calls for his psalm to be set to music for the choir director on my stringed instruments. Habakkuk sees God, not circumstances, things, or people. In his concluding message on the prophecy of Habakkuk, Mr. Overton asks in today's message the question, is your life self-centered or God-centered, Mr. Overton?
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings in the name of the Lord Yeshua. In spirit, the prophet Habakkuk has placed himself upon the watchtower to await God's answer. I will stand on my guard post and keep watch to see what he will speak to me. Habakkuk has laid bare his heart before the Holy One of Israel. He was no mere passive spectator of the deplorable spiritual and moral state of his beloved Judah and Jerusalem. He lived among them, ministered to them, and grieved over their tragic spiritual decline. What has troubled the prophet is the silence of God in all of this. Why does he not intervene to stop this outrage? How long, O Lord, I cry out to thee, yet thou dost not save? Yes, destruction and violence, strife and contention arise. Justice is never upheld. Now the prophecy of Habakkuk is quite different from the writings of the other Hebrew prophets. He does not speak directly to the people. The message from God is to be found in the presentation of Habakkuk's own personal experience with God. In this moving and poetic dialogue, the perfect dealings of God appear, and the faith of the prophet grows. God has answered Habakkuk's inquiry by saying that he is doing something even during the prophet's time, but not that which was anticipated. Look among the nations, observe, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people. They will sweep through the land like the wind, but they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. Habakkuk is terribly alarmed over this answer. Even though he grieves deeply and is righteously angry over the evil actions and attitudes of his people, the prophet is not prepared for this oracle. Habakkuk remonstrates with God, asking how the pure and holy God can use such an impure and unholy instrument, especially when the Chaldeans are worse than those they are to punish. God answers Habakkuk again after some delay, that in due course it will be demonstrated that the righteous shall live by his faith, but those that are lifted up in boastful pride will perish. Then the destruction of the Chaldeans is described. God is seen to be the God of history, the God of all nations, as well as the God of Israel. It is to be observed that God does not answer the prophet's question as he expects. The righteous shall live by his faith. The human intellect could not comprehend the full solution to the moral problems in the divine rule of the universe. Faith says with the psalmist, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. This oracle concludes, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. God himself is the answer. He cannot violate his own nature. He remains faithful. Worship him. The prophet Habakkuk, after receiving this answer from God, descends, as it were, to enter the sanctuary with prayer and praise. The prophet would rejoice, not in any outward circumstances, but in God himself. This closing portion of Habakkuk's prophecy is beautiful indeed. It is an ode designed for public worship. It is surely one of the most majestic writings of the Hebrew prophets. The concluding portion of the prophecy begins with these words, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. The name or title of this poem with the indicated kind of music requested lifts it beyond a private prayer. It is given by divine inspiration for all. It is an inspired psalm for the sanctuary. The prophet makes a statement before he presents the formal request. Lord, I have heard the report about thee, and I fear. The disturbed heart, because of God's disclosures of judgment, finds outlet in earnest prayer. Now the request of this psalm follows. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. The prophet beautifully implores the Lord to revive his work. Perform again, he pleads, those mighty acts of deliverance and grace on behalf of the covenant people. In the midst of God's righteous judicial wrath, the prophet asks that mercy be demonstrated. In wrath or turmoil, remember mercy. As Habakkuk thus prays for God's intervention in the coming turmoil, the prophet receives a vision of the God of Israel coming as he did in Israel's past history to deliver. It is a prophecy of future redemption given in a sublime picture under figures of events at the Red Sea, Mount Sinai, the Jordan, and the conquest of Canaan. The prophet sees and records all of those past events as though they were present reality. The splendor of the Lord's appearance is described first. God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, and there is the hiding of his power. Now this is much more than a picturesque description of a storm sweeping the desert. Habakkuk beholds a glorious theophany, God in his majesty. As he once came to Sinai, so God will come again in redemption. The locations, Teman and Mount Paran, speak of the locations of the approach of God. God's manifested glory fills the earth. His splendor hides his power. It conceals the image of the invisible God. The description of the theophany of both judgment and deliverance continues. Before him goes pestilence, and plague comes after him. I saw the tents of Cushan under distress. The tent curtains of Midian were trembling. Sun and moon stood in their places. Now these pregnant expressions are reminiscent of God's historical dealings with his people. The 10 plagues in Egypt for Israel's deliverance, the trembling of the nations in the path of Israel's advance from Egypt, the sovereign control of God over his creation on behalf of Joshua in his conquest of Canaan. The prophet Habakkuk speaks of God's purpose in his visitation as this portrayal continues. Thou didst go forth for the salvation of thy people, for the salvation of thine anointed. Thou didst strike the head of the house of the evil, to lay him open from thigh to neck. Thou didst pierce. Thou didst tread on the sea with thy horses, on the surge of many waters. Now it was not the military of power of Israel that accounted for the great victories in her history. The presence, power, and grace of God brought it all to pass. This was to be the reason also for her deliverance from Babylonian exile. It will be true as well in the end days. The music from this historical and prophetic psalm must have thundered at times from the sanctuary as its new expression. 3 times the musical notation Selah occurs. It is a glorious song of God's triumph for his people. This tremendous poem has been prefaced by the plea of Habakkuk to God to act as deliverer, as in Israel's past history. Now, it is followed by the prophet's terrified response. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound my lips quivered, decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, and for the people to arise who will invade. You see, the prophet contemplates the decreed punishment for Judah's sins, and he is only able to wait for the coming storm. The vision, however, finally creates in the prophet a triumphant faith that imparts strength not only to endure, but to rejoice. As Job cried out, "Though he slay me, I will trust or hope in him," so Habakkuk beholds the final restoration, the ultimate salvation. The closing verses are lovely, moving, and sufficient. Listen to them. "Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flocks should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength." What a revelation this is of God's victory over all circumstances, doubts, and enemies in the life that is God-centered. Clouds may surround me and darkness may cover my path. I am consumed if my life is centered in self. Is your life self-centered or God-centered? What a word Habakkuk has for us. God has accomplished so much, but exceedingly greater than all accomplishments was when the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, bore the storm of wrath on our behalf. He now lives in triumph over death, Satan, and circumstances. Will you trust him?
And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.